Hello and welcome to episode 28 of the Inner Miami Show. I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Brandon Mateus Rojas is going to be Garbage Griffin. And joining me is Mike. Phil's going to win a trophy before Inner Miami Longan. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, we're going.
I figured I'd get those out of the way.
First. Yeah. Yeah, that take's not looking so good. That is. I mean, either I saw a take one. Recently, like someone would take, I'm not going to name the guy's name, said they'd take Taylor over Morgan. I thought it was one of the worst takes ever. And then I was reminded that I thought Phil was really going to kill it at Portland, and he is not killing it. They are calling for his head already.
Things are turning. Yeah,
things are turning. But
I got Mateus Rojas wrong.
You got that way. Well, I'm going to call out. Let's be fair to you. It's early. The sample size is very small. It's a heck of a sample size. I mean, I wish that was the entire sample size, but let's hold off a little bit longer. Maybe give it a game or two more before we fully like all in on Rojas. But that sample.
Can I just say that he has two more goals now than I expected him to have his whole Inter Miami tenure. So I got it wrong.
Yeah, you got it wrong. I wanted to talk about real quick, and then we're going to get into it. I had my whole rant ready to go, which is I just want to talk about how dumb MLS is. And I'm not talking about this week's
my favorite game. Subject.
We are the preeminent team. Inter Miami is. You know what's funny? Some people really criticize us if you say we when you're talking about your team. But, like, I mean, I believe pink, so I'm we. We are the preeminent team in MLS. We are their moneymaker. Our rivalry matchup in their rivalry week, which they are super excited to be talking about, is a Wednesday night matchup next week. Like, how dumb is that? Not to mention, I now have to get on a bus and take a bus ride up.
You don't
have to. I have to.
And you should
be with me.
No.
Anyway, I will be there. I will be there. I guess we're going to have to record Tuesday night next week because we are got a midweek
game. Are we going live from Exploria?
We are not. Frankly, sure? I'm concerned that Joe Kerr and I may not make it. The rivalry is pretty hot between the two SGs, and we're traveling with SGs.
I will go. I will commit. If you're down for it, I will go live from here. And when you get on the bus, we get your reactions.
I don't know how fast we're getting on the bus. Have you seen our SGs?
No, it'll be hours. Yeah.
Yeah. And when we win, which we will, we're going to want to play their drums in Exploria. I'm sorry. Inter and Co Stadium. We call it.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, and they're going to want to play the drums in our stadium for a solid hour until.
Well,
someone starts throwing glass bottles at us.
You haven't done Orlando away before, right?
No, it's my first one.
Right.
I'm legitimately concerned for my health.
Well, you'll find out why I won't do it again. Because they make the supporters section for Inter Miami. You have to wait till everybody leaves the stadium. You will be in the stands for a good hour and a half.
Well, it's for my safety. So
Yeah, but you're still not safe.
I am hoping I have a chance. I always buy a souvenir whenever I go travel away, and there's gonna be so many Inter Miami jerseys there that hopefully it's
I hope so, man.
A little easier.
Yeah, it's definitely dangerous going there than it is for them coming here.
I've gone to 4 or 5 away matches now, and I've never had a concern. I've wandered around Atlanta Stadium, Nashville's, LA's, but Inter and Co Stadium, I am a little nervous for. So we're gonna see how it goes.
Yeah, we definitely will see.
I'm on the bus. Joe's saying he's been on the bus sleeping. I'm going to be annoying him. The band's going to be the drums are going to be playing.
Listen, don't fall asleep in the stands and miss the bus. That's all I have to say.
Don't fall asleep on the bus and see what happens.
Don't wander off and get lost in a foreign city.
Well, luckily the Brightline can always get us home.
Jeff,
There's been some incidents.
Yes. So when I went, there were not any major incidents that I was aware of, but the security there does go like over the top when we come to town, and they just keep us there forever, which is good and bad because I think the more and more we play, the more heated the rivalry is going to get, even though, I mean, we'll talk about it next week, but I think we have a bigger rival than Orlando.
This was a forced rivalry, but
yeah.
I like how it's developed. Nashville. I think it's I, I think if you look at played matches and historical significance, Nashville is a rival, but the fans don't treat that as a rivalry. There's never been a fuck Nashville chant ever in our stadium. They're at one point pre-Messi were lots of fuck Orlando. And remember, the whole reason we do that one is because they started it first. They started the fuck Miami chants.
They started it before we started playing.
Yeah, like they was that 2 years ago, the Damian Lowe header after 300 minutes of stoppage time, or not stoppage time, but rain delays. That game started with the fuck Miami chants.
Sean's right. Nashville's like a brotherly fight. I think that's why I like it better.
There's mutual respect in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not going to see a player in Orlando that was excited to end up with Messi's jersey. We've seen the Nashville guys.
I guarantee you we will.
Oh, man.
We will. After the game, we will. There's a couple of people on that team I can see trying to snag that jersey.
Oh, they'll snag it, but they're probably not going to post on Twitter.
Oh, hell no. But, speaking of our team, we do have some season ticket holder news. For those of you who are season ticket holders, check your emails. You're not hallucinating. The team is coming through on one of their promises. There will be watch parties in both Broward and Miami-Dade County for the Orlando City game, which is awesome.
I just have to call out, not only are they doing what they said they're doing, they put it in Broward. And if you look at the maps of where the port...
There's one in Broward and one in Miami.
For years, there's never been anything in Broward. It's always, if they did anything, it was always Miami. There's like there used to be like six inner Miami bars.
They used to do the away game watch parties at Wendy's in Broward. Okay. I was so pissed.
And
there are people who listen to this who were planning on going to one with me, and then it rained and they canceled it at the last minute. And that turned out to be the last one ever. And we
missed
gonna
get it. The Galazzo meal. The Galazzo meal, right?
We were going to show up in the parking lot with coolers and see what happened.
I think my camera's loose. I am just excited. They are fulfilling a promise. Doesn't mean we may get an autograph session. And you know how I feel about autographs. It could happen.
It could. It definitely could. I think, the logical timing for that is probably... if we make an early exit League's Cup, something like that, we might see it. But I think it's possible that we see something. But again, I highly doubt it's going to be the guys you're looking
for. No, I know it's not going to be. But even I can get the other guys happy.
Yeah. Right.
So many of these new guys have never gotten them before.
I would love it if they announced like a week or two in advance, like who's going to be there. Because there are several players that I would want an autographed jersey from, but I'm not going to make a custom jersey and then not get to see them, you know?
See, if they're smart, and actually, in this case, they might be smart enough to do it. They'll sell they'll like literally have the jersey next to the guy.
Just have a stack of jerseys just give us cash. It's for our charity.
and Rebellion saying Messi autograph line. Yeah, not happening. Of course, that one's not happening. And I don't even think a Suarez one. You say Busquets, and I'll go maybe.
I don't think of Busquets. I don't think Alba either. I think that would just get crazy.
The Gressels, the Rojas, the Redondos. I mean, some of these guys.
I still got to get this signed.
Campana, I've got his card. But some of these guys might be guys that 5 years from now, the autograph you get now is going to be really something. Especially if you look at Redondo. Or
when you look at Kramaski or Gomez or... any of those guys. But we'll see. We don't have any news on that yet. Definitely the club hasn't talked about it yet, but they might soon.
I'm excited about it.
Good stuff happening. I mean, come on.
Take a win. Let's take a win.
Yeah. Let's move right along to our New York Red Bulls recap. I think we definitely took this personally.
All I can think of was that Michael Jordan, and I took it personally. That was, as we're just racking up the goals and you're seeing, and I don't know if you read, I forgot who put, might have been Alex put on Twitter. The music was so loud in our locker room after the match. They were partying so hard. They could hear it in the press room.
That's awesome.
Having a blast.
Well, I think that, You know, and we say, we joke around taking it personally. I think there was some of that, but I think what you're really seeing is that when we put on what's basically our best 11, Alba wasn't there, Redondo wasn't there, but basically
Gomez wasn't there.
This was the best.
It was our best. Eight of our best 11.
Yeah. This is like, yeah, this is our super close to best 11. And we fucking dominated them. Like it wasn't close. And so anyway, we had starting lineup calendar in the back, Alves and
Freire
in the back with, Negri and Weigand out wide. Then we had a midfield with, Gressel, Ruiz, Busquets, and then Messi, Taylor, and Suarez up top, which, you know, I think I can't complain about that starting lineup. It was good.
No, I don't think you can complain at all about the starting lineup. I think we said this last game. That last game was Tata's best coach game, and I think he rolled it forward into another really well coached game. I do have some nitpicks that we'll get into, but this is the lineup you had to come out here with. This is our best lineup we have available. We're in it to win it now in MLS. We're trying to bank points because we can't afford to not have more points when Messi and Gomez and these other guys are away. I know Gomez is out right now, but are away for Copa and every other FIFA window that we should absolutely respect. This was an absolutely fine lineup. And I think not starting Rojas, considering he had just joined the team, was the thing to do. So,
oh, well, of course. Yeah.
It was right. It was a good lineup.
Yeah.
And then Tata did something that I have been begging him to do for games and games now, which is make a halftime sub, make an early sub to change a game. And that the Ruiz to Rojas flip,
yeah,
absolutely changes the game. Completely changing. Yeah. It opened it right up. And Rojas, I don't think him and Messi have ever played together. I'm not aware that they had any stops in their history together. But there is chemistry there from moment one that is just amazing.
Yeah, it was surprising to see that he was that dialed in. But I also think like Messi can pretty much make chemistry with somebody right away. Like we saw him and Robbie Taylor just form this like partnership right away. And like, he can bring that out of people. I think if it's somebody who wants to work, who's going to put in the effort, like he'll do what he has to do. And I think that's the key.
He'll make chemistry with people who allow him to be Messi. PSG is a perfect example of everyone wanted to be Messi on that line. So therefore the chemistry really didn't exist, especially when Neymar was there. But I mean, it worked so well, Rojas. It was a great tactical move. And something that, frankly, we haven't
before we get into that, I think we should talk about the first half. You know, we talked about it in our post game thing and you know, I know how Mike is. And one of the first questions that I said I wanted to ask him was, when we went down 1-0, were you saying, oh shit, we're going to draw or lose?
I was comfortable we were still going to win it. I felt it was there. Remember, I walked in a lot to this match saying, New York Red Bull, this is the team that can press us. They're built to hurt us. But the problem with, and this is kind of like a FIFA thing, if you play FIFA and you set like full-on press, your guys wear out in the second half, and all of a sudden you're screwed. And essentially, that's part of what we saw happen was they just could not maintain the press. And once we started counterattack, because that was the second thing we saw in the second half. So instead of playing purely out of the back, we started playing direct. And all of a sudden, they couldn't handle it. I read an
interesting article about the New York Red Bulls and what's happening to them in these last couple of games. And you're saying that they were pressing and pressing, but the stats and the way that they played actually showed that they haven't pressed hard in about 5 games. Since the last time they played us, and it shows. We were down 1-0 in the first half, but I at no point in that first half did I say, oh, Red Bulls are really controlling this game. Red Bulls are creating shots. We created 8 shots in the first half.
But in the first 20 minutes, they spent a lot of time on our side of the ball. Defenders were constantly under pressure.
It wasn't the true high press that we've seen Red Bulls do before.
it was still pretty high press. Maybe it's not the the crazy hyper high press they've run in past right. years, but and so it was still, that was not a low block. That was not like let the midfield play. That was, we're going to try to keep this on your side of the field as much as possible.
Yeah, I think there's some of that. But I don't think I don't buy into the fact that the Red Bulls got tired and that's why we dominated. We dominated because we started making slightly better judgment calls in the penalty area, especially with Rojas coming in and just shifting that because we got numbers forward. It wasn't that they were tired, man. I think it was this team, like, it was a domination. It was not because they were tired. You don't get tired. You don't have a full week's rest and then get tired after 20 minutes. That doesn't happen in MLS. Yeah, but
it's the first 50 minutes, the first 45 minutes, they pushed on us. We didn't have any. We had very few. We might have shots, but they weren't very good shots. There was every time we took a shot in the first half. So they had tracked on us. They had tracked. Yeah, because they went forward and they tracked back.
They did.
I mean, my seats are right on the 18-yard line. I was even telling my wife,
ball right away. But they lost constant, the ball right away. But there was they didn't have the opportunity to press high.
No, but they were pressing on loss of possession, man. As soon as they lost possession, they kept on pressing.
Right, but pressing in individual players is much different than pressing high, and they weren't pressing high. Well, those players weren't tired by halftime. I can tell you that.
The runs they were doing back to defend, because part of what happened, they were doing a great job cluttering the box when we took those shots. I think you said eight shots. How many were actually on goal, made it to the keeper? It was very few because their defenders and their midfield was rushing up and down the field. I'm not trying to take away from this.
But I think you're confusing what a high press is. And you get nitpicky, so I'm going to get nitpicky. A high press is the defenders are on the other side of the halfway line. And we didn't see that with Red Bulls. They didn't have the opportunity to get the defenders that far up.
I will accept your nitpicky. Red Bulls
were on their back foot.
But their forwards I'll grant you, I'm probably confusing high press versus pressing on possession. And that's also what Red Bull's constantly been known for. And they were pressing on loss of possession.
Well, yeah, very hard. And I agree with that. But the thing was, is Red Bulls were losing possession pretty much at midfield. Outside of that first goal, like, I never felt like Red Bulls were threatening in that first half.
And that's why I tell you, I wasn't scared. I wasn't concerned we wouldn't come back. But I also think that you haven't caught a fact that instead of trying to play out of the back, which we did in the first half, in the second half, we started to just do straight up counter and press forward. We were not waiting to build the line. We were just turning around and going, putting it right back through. Our midfield took possession and held it.
And I think Joe nailed it here with his comment. We expected the high press, so we played defensively in the first half. When we realized they weren't doing it, we took advantage in the second half. And I think that's exactly what happened. And that's why we saw Ruiz on the field with him and Busquets kind of being a little bit more defensive in case things went wrong. And then when you made that switch to Rojas, which again, in AZ Rebellion just mentioned, and I think Sean mentioned as well, and you obviously already have, like, Tata made the right substitution. And I think from half forward, he went from let's play defensively to let's run this game because there's opportunities.
So let me almost backtrack a little. I said one more thing. I think this was Rojas was coming in, maybe not in 45, maybe it was 60, but this was always planned. So when we're saying like it was a pure tactical decision, I think it was also just he wanted to get Rojas in and just not the minutes. I still think it wasn't a matter of just switching from a defensive mindset to a more attacking. It was just purely like, I guess it is. I guess it's just he stopped playing out of the back. And every time we've stopped playing out of the back, we've done better.
He changed his tactic
I'm struggling to give him credit. Like, you have to understand how hard it is to give Tata credit.
Mike, I'm still on the fire Tata train. I hate the guy, but you can't you can't just make up tactics and like push it into where you want it to fit the narrative. Like, that's not what we saw.
You can't. I can't do that. This is on the internet. I can do whatever I want. Tata did this because a hooker told him to. That's the next thing we're going to run on.
Oh, man, boy.
That's to be a short. This is the piece of I want to kind of flip out. So one thing that frustrated me with Tata here, and I'd love your opinion because we haven't discussed this. when Aviles picks up the yellow card in the 57th minute, Tata now knows he's not going to have him for the next game. And in my opinion, come the 80th minute, he should have come out, and whoever's playing the starter next week should have come in and started getting some reps. And I know it's a nitpicky thing, but I'm assuming it's going to be Sergei who's going to start next week next to Freire. That's kind of who I think is third on our defensive, our depth chart. He hasn't had a lot of minutes lately. And when you're up 6-1, your game's already in hand. Get your center back in to start getting him some reps, because he's playing. He's the starter next week. Just seemed like one of those things that a good coach thinks about and Tata doesn't.
Yeah,
I know it's nitpicky, yeah, but it's just one of those.
But I don't think Sergei's ready to come in and start.
Someone else is starting, because Toto's not playing.
Probably be Sailor.
All right, but then same comment, but replace.
But Sailor's been training. He's match fit. Why risk somebody?
Because
you know, like, why risk?
How many times have you told me?
What if he makes that sub, and he pops his knee? He's out for the season.
Because if he does that, you know, in the sub, he's not match fit. He's not going to be match fit most likely next week. Like, you're the one who said it. I'm kind of bringing the receipts. How many times have you said the practice field isn't the game time? Inter Miami 2 is not game time. Game time is game time.
Yeah.
You want one of our guys to have game time.
Right, but giving Sergei 20 minutes at the end of the game, I don't think Sailor's ready to go 20 minutes.
No, but hold
Sailor's,
on.
Sailor subbed in before. Sailor subbed in last week or week before.
I would have wanted Sailor, because he's going the full 90 next time. Whoever it is, they're going the full 90.
They're not going to go the full 90. Watch. Sailor will start. Sailor will probably go 60 minutes, and then maybe Kristoff comes in.
So for those that don't know, MLS's rules are once you hit your fifth yellow, and there's some rules to kind of get off it, but once you're your fifth yellow, you're on yellow card accumulation and you're suspended next match. So we will not have Toto next match. That's done.
Ash, way too soon for Ian Frey. Yeah. I wrap the boy in bubble wrap and give him some time. Towards the end of the season, the playoff run, I think he's going to play part coming off the bench, but I don't think he's...
Like, I'll go so far.
I would love it, but...
You and I were texting back and forth. Like, I want Campan to come in, but if Campan, like, I would have rather had the center back that's going to start next week come in and Campan not come in.
Have we seen it anywhere confirmed that I was suspended?
He was on yellow card watch via MLS.com before the game.
Okay.
Like, if you went to the website, it had it listed as a warning. What is it called? A warning or watch?
I haven't seen it, like, officially reported, because, you know, sometimes, like, if you go so many games since, like, your first yellow drops off. I don't know. It's weird.
He's accumulated quite a bit of them. So, I mean, he's at definitely five. Yeah,
but I think if you have Freire there, I think...
I'm not saying I'm concerned as much as, like, I just want these guys to the playing time so they're ready.
See, so, and this is my thing. Like, the guys were feeling good. The team was rolling. Tata made some subs at the end, you know, brought in Campana and Noah in it at the 84th minute, really nothing.
And I would have rather
Kromoski seen and Brighton. And that's fair. But I also think there's something to be said where this Red Bulls team is capable of scoring on a bad back line. And
five goals in seven minutes, we have seen
crazier things in MLS. And I think we also wanted to make a statement win against what is perceived as probably one of the best teams in the East.
I'm just trying to think strategically.
You can't just celebrate a win.
No,
it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible.
You know what? I'll tell you what.
If we won 5-2, you would have complained that if we won 5-2, Ryan Sailor came in at the 60th minute, you would have complained that Tata went to a defensive formation.
Oh yeah,
and
that we couldn't have put in. I'm not asking for the 60th. I'm asking for the 80th. I would give or the
80th minute in a
eight. Just give him 10 minutes.
I don't think that makes a huge difference.
I just think any extra time on the legs. All right. So the other one I want to talk about, last week I defended Gressel. I did. I think he should start. This week, I think he plays well until he misses a complete sitter. The guy next to me, actually the two guys next to me, are cursing this man's name, want to see him burned in effigy.
Ooh, that's a bit harsh.
Yeah, but that's what was being said. We all know I love a good F-bomb. There was a lot of them being said to my right. Like, he's the worst player of all time. I don't know what he's doing. I'm like, they clearly haven't watched a lot of Inter Miami. In fact, even though I know how they have. Yeah. I don't get it. I Gressel does not shoot. He should not take a shot. I accept that of him. And if you want to make an argument that a midfielder that can't shoot is a waste, I can accept the larger argument. But that's not what he's supposed to be doing on the team. And I'm really struggling for the hatred of Gressel. Like, I just don't have it. And I would love someone to give it, to explain to me why I'm supposed to hate Gressel more than I do, because I just think he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. What he's not supposed to be doing is taking shots.
I agree with you. I think he is a midfielder, kind of like we've seen. And obviously, before the chat goes crazy and tells me they're obviously not on the same level, I know. But you look at a guy like Thiago, magician with the ball, all the skills in the world, passes. But if you put him in front of an open goal, he's probably going to miss. Right? But he does great things in the midfield. And I think the idea for Gressel was for him to be more in that role and to be more of like an assist maker for Messi, because that's why he's playing right behind Messi. And we've seen the connection there at times. What I think is causing a lot of this hate is how much he's getting paid. I think that goes into it, because he's one of the higher TAM deals on the team. He's just not showing everything that we need. He's showing poor defensively. When we turn over the ball, he's not tracking back as much as he should. Now, do I think the guy should be burned in effigy? Absolutely not.
I think he's doing
all right.
But I don't think that's actually true. I think he's put on more miles. I know even though he's played more minutes than anyone, he's also put in more miles than anyone. So he is tracking back.
Okay, he's tracking back. I don't think he's tracking back effectively.
I think there's...
We don't really see him press.
See, when I watch him, he's constantly playing defensive ball. He's constantly tracking back. He's all over the damn field. And that's where I like a blue-collar player. I always have. And to me, Gressel's a blue-collar player. He does everything he needs to do. He is that. He's a distributor. He's not a goal scorer.
Yeah, and Sean just kind of made my point for me here. When he tracks back, he's not covering. He's not trying to recover the ball. Like, he's tracking back, but he's not being effective when he tracks back. So, like, he's putting in the effort, but I think he's, I don't know. I was never a fan of him in the midfield. I thought as a left back, because we want to be more attacking. I thought, yeah, he's played there his whole career. Maybe if we want to put him as a winger, I could see that, but I don't think he's that bad though.
I'm not saying there are
better options on the team now though. I don't think he's done anything to secure his starting spot anymore.
I agree with you that his starting spot is not secure. I am not convinced Kramoski is the replacement for him.
I don't think Kramoski is the replacement. I think it's Rojas.
I don't think it's Rojas.
I think it's either Rojas or Taylor.
Well, I mean, also, I'll say this. Two. I think Rojas is going to play over Taylor, and I don't think Gomez may ever see the pitch again for us. So I think that's where Rojas is going to be playing.
Ash, I don't think Gressel's issues are down to coaching, because Gressel had some of his best seasons playing for Tata, but that was as a right back. Tata forcing him into the midfield is odd, in my opinion. It could be that Tata's putting him in an inopportune spot, but Tata knows what he can do and knows what he can do when he's at his best. So I don't think it's so much that Tata's misplaying him. I think at this point, we probably overpaid on what should be a role player and expected him to be a starter. Because if he puts in those efforts coming in against tired legs in the second half, maybe he's doing more. And maybe we're thinking this is a guy that we need, like he did with Columbus. He wasn't a starter at Columbus. you know, just my thoughts.
I'll go back to at the time we got him, I would have so much rather had Robinson, who ended up in Cincinnati. Like, same money, that's the player I would have got. But again, I just, it's my kind of tangent. We'll see more what happens. I just don't get the hate. I don't think it's deserved.
Yeah.
Another thing I walked away from this weekend, I can't wait to find out how much we paid Cello. Because did you see the assist by Yedlin this week?
Yeah.
They scored in 26 seconds, I think, was the fastest goal they've ever scored. It was beautiful. And, Cello makes sense largely if we freed money from Yedlin and he's a cheaper player, even though we had – and we also did have to buy an international roster, so that's $175,000 right there. So, like, I hope we got Cello cheap because I really still struggle. I'm not saying Yedlin was better, but I don't think we really upgrade. It doesn't feel like we got a huge upgrade there.
I think it does because instead of talking every week about how we got exposed on the right side, we're not talking about that every week.
Yeah, but we went to the 4-3-3 now. We're not
discussing. But, Mike, even with Yedlin in the 4-3-3, in preseason, you were freaking out when he was in the 4-3-3 because he wasn't doing what he needed to do defensively, and we were weak on the right side.
That doesn't sound like me at all.
Oh, it doesn't.
Ooh. No.
Let me pull up the tapes. But, you know, like, I think because we are not talking about the right side, we're not getting exposed on counterattacks on the right side, I think it was an upgrade, and I'm fine with it. Do I still think that Yedlin is a special player who can contribute in the right setting? Yes.
I absolutely think Yedlin on this team.
But Yedlin in this team would not have worked.
See, I think Yedlin on this team would have been fine.
No, and this is why. AZ Rebellion nailed it. Cello is much better defensively than Yedlin. And that's what we need. We need someone who can win the ball back. Yedlin's not winning one-on-one matchups. He's not. He's intercepting the ball. He's not winning one-on-one matchups.
Remember where my seats are.
Oh, I sit on the 18-yard box. I saw him win one against the Montreal. Yeah. Get out of here, man.
Well, first off, that's not what I sound like. Second off, no, I saw him win many times one-on-one with his hands behind his back because he's very consistent about good with his hands once he gets inside the 18, the box.
Listen, I love Yedlin, but and Sean makes another great point. He overlaps the left back and crosses in. Yedlin can't do that here, and that's absolutely correct.
Yedlin overlapped.
He overlapped, and then we were exposed.
Well, that's because the person he's overlapping with isn't covering his position. The whole point of an overlap is the guy.
But when you make
funny enough, run
and you decide to overlap somebody, you got to make sure you're communicating that. And Yedlin never communicated that. Yedlin would go up when the midfielder in front of him was already up in the attacking third. You can't do that as a left back and be successful. And maybe that's what Tata asked him to do because he knew we had to outscore people. But Yedlin was a defensive liability.
But I think part of that's on the midfield too for understanding the overlap is happening. Like that's not purely on Yedlin for not screaming, I'm making the overlap. Like that's not the expectation. No.
You have to admit Cello is a better defender than Yedlin.
Oh, I admit it. I'm just making sure the money value was there too.
I think for whatever we paid for Cello has been worth it. Because until now, we haven't talked about the right back position since he got here. And there's been at least one or two games where he was probably our best player on the field.
You were also constantly agreeing that we have a leaky line and we expect 1 to 2 goals against us just from across the line, whether it's left back, right back, center backs.
Right. So when you have a team that's clearly not investing in center backs, you can't have liabilities across your whole back line. Alba cleans up defensively when he can. Cello cleans up defensively when he can.
The strongest argument you can make, I think, against me right now is that I'm talking about this now when Alba's not playing because Negri plays a lot more defensive, which allowed someone like Yedlin to go up. When Alba goes up, I kind of forgot about Alba not being here past 2 weeks, how much we revert to almost a three-man back line because they all rotate to the left to cover Alba going up. And that Chela has to play a true defensive role, which Yedlin can't. It's been 2 weeks. I've already kind of pushed that out of my mind. But that's the argument.
The argument is that overall, Chela is an upgrade over Yedlin. Yedlin still has one of the sweetest passes.
That was gorgeous.
In MLS. He you can't take that away from him. And I'm not trying to sit here and say that Chela can do that because we haven't seen that yet. But what I am saying is overall in this system, Chela is the player to have, not Yedlin. I'm happy Yedlin's doing well in Cincinnati. He needs to be someplace that can embrace him and play the way he wants to play.
My whole argument is I hope we're not paying more for Chela than we paid for Yedlin. Or the I doubt same. It. That we need Chela's the money. The money needs to be saved.
The money doesn't need to be saved. That's right. Look at the team we put on the field. And we don't have Yedlin.
We need money for August.
Not with the rule changes, man. We don't need the money. We got the money.
Since your theory is one of those guys coming over on TAM, we need the money.
We'll find the money. We'll be all right. If your theory is correct and we sell Gomez in the summer, forget about it. The money's there.
Yeah, you're just caps. Convert
most of that.
No, yeah, but if you how much that'd
you
be
can
enough,
convert,
though.
You can convert most of it to. You can convert all that you need to make those two moves happen into GAM.
So Sean's saying that Chela thinks about 350, which is about half. Well, so it's plus the 175, 525. It's still savings of 200,000. It's good business.
Yeah. You doubted Chris Henderson, man. Jesus Christ. I hope he doesn't listen. Unbelievable, man.
I'm not saying you're I doubted Chris.
A tone for that. I'm saying I'm it.
Gonna. You guys can burn me in effigy.
Oh, that'd be fun.
No. Ow. Wow.
Anyway, moving on. Team of the match day. Mike and I were trying to figure out where they were going to fit Rojas into this because we thought it was possible he ended up on the bench.
Yeah, because Surge all of a sudden, because that hit, he's got a hat trick. I'm like, okay, well, it can't be all three of them. So I guess Rojas is a midfielder this week.
Yeah. Yeah, so Suarez with his hat trick up top, Rojas in the midfield, Messi obviously up top with his record setting 6 goal involvements. And
I'm gonna claim my only point of the night. Claiming my only point of the night is that I said he would man in the match, and you said it'd be Suarez. I'm like, no, you don't realize the night Messi had.
Listen.
That's my only point I'm getting right tonight.
I'm always going to vote on the side of somebody else because I think just because when his name is Messi, it's going to overshadow thing. Yeah, five assists and one goal is going to beat 3 goals by Suarez. But a 12-minute hat trick is pretty goddamn impressive. Not to mention, those in attendance probably don't know. And this is, I'm going to get on the club for this. The club has not made an announcement about it, has not celebrated it, but for everyone who was at that game, we saw Suarez's 500th club goal. And the only reason anybody knows about it is because Suarez put it out. The team hasn't done shit about that. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, his name's not Messi.
It doesn't matter. He is the number 2 most recognized player in this league. And you don't put anything about like him hitting 500 goals. Like that's sad.
So let me ask this.
You can hype up Messi all you want, but we're at Wednesday. There should have been a tweet about his 500th goal by now.
So I'm going to put this up and this will be a little bit, I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but it's been said a lot recently that the English tweets and English social media is not nearly up to par with the Spanish social media. I don't think you know Spanish. Is it possible there was a Spanish tweet about this that
not
you didn't
from the
see?
Team. The team put out 3 Spanish tweets from Messi. I didn't see anything about Suarez. Do you have one?
I don't. I was just asking because I don't follow any of our Spanish social media. But there's been a lot of commentary about
the
disparity.
Social media?
The disparity has changed. has right. been very
but the aware. Team doesn't have an English and a Spanish Twitter account. They have the team Twitter account. It may as well be the Spanish Twitter account because they put out three tweets about Messi this week that were pictures of him with like quotes in Spanish, and I can't run that shit through Google Translate.
Maybe one of them was a picture of Messi saying Suarez hit 500 goals, and that's what you missed.
There was no mention of Suarez because I checked those.
El Pistero,
you know, you know that I comb through our social media pages to put these decks together. I don't make these graphics. They mostly come from Inter Miami's pages, and there was zero mention.
I'm just...
Sean, you're wrong. I do think...
By the way, you are wrong. For the record.
I mean I'm wrong?
You are absolutely wrong. 7 hours ago, Inter Miami posted. 7 hours ago. You have every right to make this rant. I just think it's funny. 7 hours ago, they posted it.
Jesus Christ. I did the deck last night. Now I got to find it.
Yeah. AZ Rebellion said the same thing. It's the first, as soon as you go to Inter Miami's Twitter page, 500 goals.
And they pinned it. Well, good for them. Still, it's bullshit that it took till now to mention it. But yeah, like I thought that would have been something they announced in stadium, right? Like they knew that was coming. That would have been cool to announce. Give the guy a moment.
Yeah, they should have in stadium. The five assists and the goal.
Mention it too.
I get why that eclipsed it in the immediate aftermath, but Monday or Tuesday it should have been said. I think that's fair. Commentary.
Yeah. Look, MLS 3 hours ago they mentioned it. MLS actually a couple days ago, I think they retweeted Suarez's tweet. Because I did see that.
Well, at this rate, if you score two seasons, you can score 500 goals in this league. Thinking just keep on putting up six goals.
And
game.
Now they're neck and neck in Golden Boot.
Which
is something I call
by the way. Let me go back to last week when I said, what was it? 4-2 against 4-1 against New England wasn't good enough. This game validated that statement really well. Because if you can beat New York Red Bulls 6-2, you could have put up 10 goals against New England without even sweating it. So I think the club validated my entire rant last week.
Whatever you say, Mike. Whatever you're
I'm
saying.
Just saying it wasn't good enough,
you, man.
I think Messi yelled at the team and they went even more of 4-1 last week against that shit team, 1-1 at the half. We are going to fucking and that was all said in Spanish because so it sounded very different than I'm saying now, but that's what he said to the club,
Mike. Whatever you say, man. I don't think so.
It wasn't good
I don't
enough.
Think so. I think you play to your competition, and I think that we raise the bar against New York Red Bulls.
Well, that's scary.
Well, that's what we did. Right, just now. Wait for Columbus. That game's going to be amazing.
I'm nervous because that game is 2 days after the Copa Finals, right? Like, that's the game right after Copa.
We'll see.
That is very concerning to me because that game could be playing for playoff hope for home field advantage and things of that nature. Like,
yeah,
it's good.
We'll see. Next segment is the segment we like to do. Inter Miami around the league power rankings. We stay at number one, Columbus number two. Which I will say I get it, but I also disagree. I think Columbus should be number one after what
if we didn't put the beat down on New York. That we put down. Do you 100% think
we get leapfrogged?
Yeah, that was going to be my point, is that I think we would have been leapfrogged because Columbus went to Monterey, did what we couldn't do. I said before the Red Bulls game, I think they're the best team in the league. I'm struggling to say that now just because of what we did. No, I rock my belief flag, and sooner or later I have to believe. And 6-2 kind of made me a believer.
No,
but Columbus is really good.
You're going to start believing when we lift the shield or MLS Cup. That's when you'll believe.
It's I won't nitpick. Oh. I'm saying it now. I will. If we win
MLS Bullshit. Bullshit. You'll be like, Messi should have held the supporter shield better. He held it like this, and it should have been like this.
That's
you'll not, nitpick.
That's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to be at this wherever we play, which at this rate, it's going to be at a home game. And I'm just going to enjoy it and bask in it. It's going to be amazing.
We'll see. Listeners, make sure you hold the receipts for when we,
yes,
when we win.
If we win MLS Cup, hold the receipts. I said I will not nitpick our win.
He will.
Unless Campana almost fucks it up for us again. And then I will.
You can't say unless. You can't say you won't nitpick if we win. And then say, oh, here's all these conditions. If Campana screws it up.
I'm only making one.
Oh, if
I will not forgive. I will not forgive Campana. I will not forgive Campana for having the striker's moment and missing.
Have you seen what Campana looks like? He doesn't need you to forgive him.
That's okay.
He gets forgiveness on a nightly basis. Well,
he can get forgiveness, but I'm just telling you, I won't forgive him.
And I don't think he's losing sleep over it.
Well, maybe he should be, because he ain't playing soccer for a professional team right now.
Oh, Mike. Anyway, standings for each conference. We still are top of the league. I think it is worth mentioning that Toronto, Cincinnati, even Red Bulls right around us have a game in hand on us still. So there's still a chance that we are not solely in the top of East once those games. The
interesting one is Minnesota right now, because they're actually tied with us in supporter standings for points per game, because they've only played 10 matches. So both of us are sitting at 2 points. Yeah. Who would have expected Minnesota to really be? I mean, to be fair, who would expect the West to look like this? The West is all.
So the West looks like this every year. Like, and we always say, oh, the power shifting to the East. Messi's here, power shifting to the East. But I think we can still say, like, the top end of the Western Conference is
actually, that's what I'm referring to. But I'm not referring to them being bad. I'm not referring to the West being bad. I'm more saying, look at the top of the West. Salt Lake, Minnesota, Vancouver, Colorado, for the top five. That's the piece I'm caught. No, you know, St. Louis is barely in the top 10. LAFC at 7. Seattle at 11th. You know, Dallas, who's a perennial playoff contender, 13th.
Who's the coach at Portland?
I skipped over them for a reason.
Oh, okay.
Because they're not a perennial, they're a perennial playoff contender at least. But, like, Dallas at 13. That's not what the West typically looks like. The West is going through a huge shakeup right now. I'm curious if it stays kind of past the break.
We have a long season to go, but
that is it's quite an interesting.
Minnesota, I think, is the biggest shock, because they're doing it without Reynoso, who's holding out again, and they hired their coach like the week the season started. Like, that doesn't get talked about enough, I feel like.
I was talking, we were watching the highlights as a family, and my wife couldn't stop commenting on the Minnesota jerseys and how awesome a jersey is. So maybe it's just the power of the jersey.
And for those who are just joining us, I've said it on the show before, if we did not have Inter Miami, I would 1,000% be a Minnesota United fan. I love everything they do.
I'd be a Nashville fan. I love them. I think Nashville is going to end up.
They get even more points because they beat Everton.
That was such a weird summer where everyone else fails and Minnesota beat Everton. Then Everton just about got relegated. So.
I don't remember. But I don't know if it was the season before or if it was him, but I believe that Everton team was coached by Carlo Ancelotti, who is now in the Champions League final.
So Mike's saying, does anyone at this point actually believe that any team can beat Miami?
Yes.
Columbus can. I'm not saying
Cincy can give us a run.
I'm not saying 9 times out of 10, but I'd say at least 5 times out of 10, Columbus can hold Inter Miami at bay. What they just did in Monterey, I don't know if you watched any of the highlights from that game. And I get it that Monterey was starting to get their backs against the wall, but the passing they were doing was amazing. It was pinpoint. Yeah. Every player knew their position. They're good.
And like, I got shit for saying this before, and I'm going to say it again, because people keep telling me that Monterey, they're not the Bayern Munich of CONCACAF. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both teams that play in Monterrey.
Don't blame me on that one.
No, I'm not saying it was you. The people in the chat know who they are. Both teams that play in Monterrey are historically the juggernauts of CONCACAF. And for us to go ahead and have a team in MLS that beat them is impressive. Columbus can give us a lot of trouble.
Deservedly beat them. Not like they got lucky. Not that it came down to PKs. They beat them up here, and they beat them worse down there.
Mm-hmm.
It was impressive.
Yeah. And then, you know, like I said, I think Columbus can. I think Cincy can. We've seen Galaxy give us trouble. And Galaxy weren't even playing their best soccer at that point. I don't think we were either.
We weren't either.
I do think that they could give us a fight. Real Salt Lake, I don't see it. I think they're kind of fluff at the top. Minnesota, though, I think could give us some trouble. But there's definitely teams that could beat us.
I Mike, I don't think they need the problem. The thing is, they're not built to. So Mike's comment here is Columbus was amazing, but Monterrey doesn't have Messi and Suarez. But Columbus is built to contain whoever you have, right? They're built to take away whatever advantage you have and just grind you out and take advantage and throwing down your throat. Like that's what they're built for. Like they're patient.
So the other thing too, and Sean mentions it here, is they have Wilfred Nancy, man. Like Nancy got a whole lot out of that Montreal team that really didn't deserve to be anywhere near where they are because they have the same players right now and they're struggling. Wilfred Nancy is a very smart tactical mind. Mike and I have had this argument privately that I think there's a possibility somebody makes a call for Nancy in the summer and says, hey, I know you just signed this extension, but you want to come coach in Europe?
I don't think that was an argument. I'm not disagreeing with that statement.
Well, we had the conversation.
My one statement that I keep on saying is I don't want him coaching the U.S. men's national team because I have a very specific rule for who has to be the coach, which is it has to be an American-born coach. But if we had him, this team, any team but got him would be better, you know, in America and in some of Europe. He's that good.
Sean, they all say that. They all say that until the European teams come calling. There are opportunities that he will have, and there will be teams that call him, say, hey, you want to come over here? And he's going to see what's happened to, like, Xavi Alonso and, like, all these guys who are starting at their careers in Europe and say, hey, I think I could do that. And he'll make the jump. He'll make the jump if the opportunity is right. He's smart enough not to just say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go take the Bayern Munich job. He knows he's not ready for that, but he'll take what's ready for him. What he's ready for, I should say. So
or he does take the job, gets paid a ton of money for a year and a half, and then comes back here and takes over another MLS team and
we'll see. Thanks it. We'll see. I think if you believe any coach who says they're gonna stay where they are, they're lying to you, unless they're at the top, the very top. I don't even think Pep would stay at City if somebody offered him more money.
Just think of Xavi saying, I'm leaving, and then deciding to stay. Like, they all.
Yeah.
For whatever, for the right amount of, not just money, because it's not just money, but money, influence, control. Any jobs there.
Absolutely. But.
So, Mike, you're kind of, Mike's saying Wilfred Nancy's the best coach, but he's not the best team. There's two different statements. Who's the best team in MLS, and can anyone beat Miami? And. I mean, the old, I forget who said the NFL statement on any given Sunday, like any team can win and lose. Like, there's some truth that we will not go undefeated. Like, we're going to lose games sooner or later. It's going to happen for whatever reason. Like, Columbus has a better shot than most to do it to us.
Yeah. Agreed. And, you know, speaking of Nancy, we got to get into his former team, Montreal. You know, this was their starting lineup. They ran out against Nashville, which is pretty close to their best 11. Some familiar faces, Lassie and Duke in the starting lineup. Most of the lineup returns from last season. They got drummed 4-1 against Montreal, which, you know, Mike mentioned before we started recording is That's a lot worse than it used to be.
Yeah, Nashville. They got drawn by Nashville.
Yeah, sorry.
So what's interesting is, A, I was just looking at your list there. Martinez is on their bench. Mm-hmm. He wasn't listed as one of the subs there. He scored against us, if I recall correctly. Yeah. No, we lost 3-2 to them. I think this was a little bit of a trap game then. I am concerned it's a little bit of a trap game again. It shouldn't be. But coming off that 6-2 win.
Then looking at Orlando midweek.
And looking possibly. At Orlando midweek, which is a midweek, big midweek rivalry game. Now, when we played them the first time, we didn't have Messi, obviously. We didn't have Suarez. It was, I'm just looking at it now. Our original team played them was Taylor, Campana, Alba, Sunderland, Redondo, Gressel, Ruiz, Christoph, Avilés, Allen, Alba, and then Allen, and Callender. So more than half our team will be different this week. But
Alba's going to be back.
We're going to win.
That's off the bench or starting.
We'll see. That's we tweeted. Who did I steal that tweet from?
Fabian.
Fabian, yeah, I tweeted that out today anyway, or yesterday. I tweeted. So looks like Alba's going to be back. We're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no doubt.
I'm 4-2. I'm thinking 4-2.
4-2.
Yeah.
I think. Is it too much to think that Tata's thinking we got a midweek game and he's going to make good subs and we go 3-2?
What kind of field does Montreal play on? Is it grass?
I believe so.
I'm going to stick with 4-2.
I think 3-2.
And a former Inter Miami player scores. It's easy to say that because there's just three different guys that could. You think two score?
Mm-hmm.
So two out of three? I'm just going to say one. Oh, so Sean's saying it's AstroTurf.
Is it?
He's saying rug. Ooh. And I assume rug is AstroTurf. I think it's Canadian.
Depends on where they're playing. They have two stadiums.
Man, now we gotta like do the quick Googles.
I know. And I should know this because
it's gonna be in Stade Saputo.
I think Saputo is grass. I think when they play in Montreal Stadium, I think that is turf.
Oh, it's a pristine natural grass field.
Yeah. Yeah, because they can play. I think they've played in the old Montreal Stadium at some times because Saputo was doing a renovation or something a couple years ago, and that was definitely turf.
All right, so that kind of eliminates grass. That. So, yeah, our main guys are going to play. Oh, now I'm backtracking.
We've got 3-2.
We've got three games in 8 days.
Well, and don't forget, no Toto in the back line.
Well, that's why I said two. So, I gave it a two already.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick on 4-2 just because I said it.
Go for it.
I'm going to stick on my guns.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't want to give the same score prediction.
I just think you got to, but you're going to rest Messi and Suarez a little more in this game. Mm-hmm. Though we keep on saying this, and we're not resting Messi at all, and he seems like he's in great form. And
we're not resting Suarez either. I don't think we need to, man. I really don't. I don't think these guys have had as much don't have as many minutes in their legs as they would like if they were still playing in Europe and stuff. I think they've had a lot of rest lately because we haven't had midweek games until this week.
You know what kind of sucks for this team though? Like this is so we've got Montreal. We fly to Montreal. So I guess Saturday morning, Friday night, we fly to Montreal. Come back Sunday. Then we fly to Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Play at home. And then the next week, we got to fly all the way to Vancouver. And then come back from Vancouver for a midweek game against Atlanta. Like, this is a kind of a little bit of a tough stretch. That people really haven't talked about. You got a lot of games. We've got, what is this? I wish I had my calendar in front of me. So between May 11th and June 1st, in the next 3 weeks, we've got six games. So it's basically a game every 3 days. That's a little bit of a tough stretch. And I think that Tata's probably looking at.
I think he probably is, but you know, I think even if he does decide to rest some guys, I think we still have the roster and we still have the chemistry at this point in the season between teammates to beat Montreal. 3-2 is me being a little bit generous to them. I wanted to say 3-1, but I do think that we might suffer defensively with no Toto.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. But so we've given our predictions, and before we wrap it up, let's jump into some fun stuff around MLS. So two of them were really cool pre-game, like, I don't want to say celebrations, but like pre-game events that the Fire and Atlanta are doing. I didn't realize the Chicago Fire had this, and I think it is absolutely awesome now. They have like a break in case of an emergency, like fire alarm. And they have a celebrity come in and break it with a fire axe, which I think is freaking awesome. And for everybody should know, Atlanta United has the rail spike that they drive into the ground. I had to put this in here because anybody who knows me knows I love baseball. I had to throw Andrew Jones in here. Former Braves, like all-star and probably Hall of Famer. And they had him come out and drive in the stake for this game. And seeing both of these got me thinking, why the hell don't we have something like this? Will we have something like this at MFP?
I have answers for this, but it's going to lead me down a deep, dark rabbit hole of statements that I don't really know if I want to go down. Okay. I will say this. I think it's because our culture, our supporter culture, is very much based on a different culture than Chicago and these other teams.
That's fair.
I think we're coming from a different place, and we're emulating a different environment.
Something like we could do, like,
as long as we don't do what
with a drum. Like
as long as we don't do what New England did.
No, that stupid tea chest was horrible. I almost put that in here for reference, but and before we get further into it, I did want to shout out Vancouver Whitecaps celebrated their 50th anniversary over the weekend and had a record attendance, 32,465 fans in their stadium, which is awesome. Just wanted to shout that out before we get any further into it.
By the way, I just call out the cool one. Portland, I think, cuts up a tree.
When they score a goal. And then Nashville, you know Nashville's, right? Anytime somebody scores a goal for Nashville, they cut a vinyl record with the announcer announcing the goal and give it to the player.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that one.
Yeah. I want to get my hands on one of those.
I'm not really well-versed in Latin soccer culture, but it doesn't feel like that's something they do. And we will not do it. That's just, we're emulating a very specific type of club. Our supporters groups are emulating a very specific type of supporter group.
And they want to be. But like all the celebrities that we have coming into the stadium, like we had Jimmy Butler there over the weekend. A couple of celebrities. Listen, I'm not that great with like A-listers. Mike is the A-list guy. He knows who else was there.
No, I think this week I was actually shocked this week. He was the only celebrity
there was somebody else that was like shaking Messi's hand and stuff. I don't know who was.
A lot of them are also like Latin DJs and stuff. A lot of them come.
I don't know them, but and it could be something like that. Like just have like a celebrity DJ or I don't know. Oh, Joe has a good idea. I don't know if I can put it up, but I'm going to anyway. Celebrities do a line of
that's Miami
games. Or I don't know, break a bottle of champagne like on the supporters section, like they're christening a boat or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you can't do that with kids in the stands.
Do something like just.
I think it would be cool. I conceptually agree with you. I just don't think that's not the club we're going to be. Like, this is where we start going of. If you want to know what we would do, honestly, it'd be lighting flares. Find a way to light flares safely that we'd be allowed to do. Give a celebrity a flare. that I could see because you have that emulation of South American, you know, flares. Yeah.
Or you could do like the Panthers. The Panthers have that giant drum and they have a celebrity bang the drum.
Yeah,
but like still, we could totally steal that.
But that's not who, that's not.
You don't think we could have a giant drum with all the supporters groups emblems on that drum sitting in front of the supporters section and have a celebrity banging on it? Could and that we? Would be awesome.
Could we? Yes.
That would it be kind awesome? Of match?
Yes. Will we? No.
Well, everybody who's listening in the comments, drop what you think we should do. Let's hear from you guys. And if you guys have some good ones, we'll throw them up there.
So Ash goes Asado for all. You know what we should do? I will tell you what we should do. Pre-game, every match, we should have a Cajachina and be doing a fucking pig. And the pre-match thing is you cut off the pig's head. A celebrity cuts off the pig's head and holds it up.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
And then there's a shot of Cafecito. Cool.
We tried to sponsored do the shot of Cafecito post-game, remember?
Yeah, sponsored nobody by Cafe Bustelo, a shot of it. Well, the players couldn't because they didn't want to ingest stuff that was from us. But yeah. I think they thought we were trying to poison them at that point in their
career. I think COVID was still a thing, wasn't it?
By the way, I don't know if you're watching this at all. The Tampa Bay Rowdies are up 5-4 in extra time right now.
Who are they playing?
I don't even know.
Oh,
I want to go, like, I always do a check of Twitter before we get done to see if anything's come up recently. And
it'd be funnier if I knew who it was.
It's another USL team. Do you see the end of the Madrid game?
Yeah, what bullshit.
He was offsides.
No, he wasn't.
His shoulder was offsides.
No.
I absolutely think it was.
No.
I was just looking at the
pictures. Besides the fact.
Shoulder
counts. The ref should have never blown that dead. He should have let it play on.
That's true.
Because then they couldn't review it.
But I still think he was offsides.
I don't. I think, and I will continue to say this, I think the refs are very much in Real Madrid's pockets. I don't care what anybody says.
Are you suggesting that in professional yes. football, a ref may be biased by a player?
I 100% say that. Yeah,
I can't believe that.
Yeah, in this case, it's absolutely true. Absolutely. And that is why for Champions League final, I will be wearing one of my very few non-Liverpool kits. I have a Dortmund Ruiz kit, or Royce kit, and I will be rocking that since it'll be his last game for Dortmund.
Just think about if a certain midfielder from Real Madrid joined us in the summer, we could have a trophy presentation for the Champions League.
No, we would. No, absolutely not. But
you can't put that again. You can't not think this club wouldn't do that.
They would try. I don't know that it would happen. But yeah, Sam or Sean, sorry. Rumors are that St. Louis has already started talking with him, which would be a natural connection with their heavy German influence. I think that he's interested in coming to MLS if the offer's right. But I do think he's also still playing at a level where he doesn't have to come if he doesn't want to.
I thought the more interesting one was Nacho talking about that he wants to come to MLS because I don't know who's going to go after him.
Yeah.
Because we're not even being speculation for that
one. No, we're not. Royce would be cool to have here. I would love it, but there's no connection. There's no reason to bring him here unless Messi secretly has admired his game for years and never said anything. Always a guy I hoped would join Liverpool, honestly. I always felt like he would fit in there, and it never happened. But, yeah. I think that's all we have. Mike, you have anything else?
No, I think it's you know, it's kind of funny. It's tougher to do a show when you destroy a team 6-2 than when you have close matches or things to discuss. Like, the end of the day,
I don't know if it's tougher to do a show. It's easier to keep on target.
I think it's just you have less to talk about. At the end of the day, I will call out, we were promised a certain team. We've been bitching for months now. That team didn't show up. Past two games, it's starting to show up. So
starting to see it.
I think the level of excitement fans should have, no matter your feelings on how we got to this point, like, somewhat, this is the time to start rallying around the team. Okay, we're here, we're winning. Like, let's all get behind the take it to the finish line, because this is what, if you heard me at the beginning of the year, no way we could win trophies. I didn't believe, but I'm getting to this point where I got to start believing. Like, it was a hell of a win, and still, we did it without three of our starters. If we ever match with all 11 starters, Mike V might not be wrong. You might not be. There might not be a team in this league that can beat us.
That's true, and you know, I don't know. I think it's very interesting that somebody who very much goes like off of his emotions and but can't buy in, like, we're gonna win something beginning of the season.
I
can't just believe. Ted Lasso would be disgusted with you.
Well, it's funny because we were rewatching season 3 of Ted Lasso. In fact, we just got done with the Total Football when we were talking about the overlaps. So I'm like, wait, you're missing the core concept of his. At the beginning, just logically, couldn't look at it, and I didn't think we'd be this good. I think that was the piece of, if you told me at the beginning of the season, hey, we were going to have a 6-2 match where Messi does 4 assists and a goal, sorry, 5 assists and a goal, and it's against the number 3 team in the league, I'm not going to necessarily believe it. I'm thinking it might be a one-off, except we also had a 4-0 match and a 4-2 match where we have 11 more goals than the second highest team in the league right now, and we're only in week 12. Like, there's enough here to start saying this could be real. And so that's where you're starting to see this turn of, okay, I have to admit, I'm still not supporting Tata. Look at, I'm nitpicking. He didn't play a center back correctly, but I'm starting to believe that we actually could win MLS Cup now. And I wasn't there 4 weeks ago, but I'm now to a point that I can see us getting the points now to get us in the playoffs and running the playoffs.
And go back, people, watch our episode from 4 weeks ago where I said, Mike, if we have a good run in the next 4 games, you're going to flip-flop.
No, you said 2 games, and it wasn't 2 games. It's taken 4. And
I'm gonna in go that back fourth and find game, it. I think I said 4 it. Games.
You didn't say 4. You said 2. In that fourth game, 6-2, 5 goals, 1 assist. Suarez has a hat trick in 12 minutes, was I believe what you said?
It's a 12-minute hat trick.
It doesn't feel like that was a one-off. Not after the Orlando match. But if it crashes down, then I'll just pretend this episode never happened.
Yeah. But anyway, as always,
yes, guys, Rebellion, let's keep it going. That's what I'm saying. Like, let's...
Yeah. Let's keep the wins rolling in. But yeah, thank you guys in the chat as always. You guys made the show awesome tonight. Thank you all who are listening, who are watching us on YouTube, liking and subscribing. Videos have been getting more traction, so please keep getting us out there, putting us out there. Oh, Mike has something he wants to say.
One thing, we know the audio sucked Saturday night in the stadium. That was my fault. I forgot to charge up our microphones. And so we actually had one pair of Bluetooth headphones, and we each had one piece in our ear. It was not the best solution. It
wasn't ideal.
It was not ideal. So then we are working through solutions. It's a lot harder to record in an open parking lot on battery power.
We did take our first step, and we were live.
Yep.
We were actually live. It wasn't just pre-recorded and released. So we're going to continue to try and work that out and get it to where it needs to be so that we have the audio level that we both find acceptable for those situations, because and Mike is scouring the internet trying to find new mics.
No, I'm set on the mics now. I'm just reading this comment from Mike V. It took Norm Macdonald to tell a joke to explore. Like, what a random reference of Norm Macdonald. Mike, you're dating Mike yourself V, on this one, man.
He never disappoints, man. Never. He's always got a good comment in there. But anyway, thank you guys for liking, for listening. make sure you hit the thumbs up button, give us a like so we can get some more traction, keep that going. Make sure you hit the bell to subscribe. We dropped an emergency episode last week. We went live from the stadium this weekend. And if anything else comes up, don't do that, Sean. His wife's going to kill him.
Have you seen the price of these? I just looked one up.
Yeah.
The Ultimate IRL V7 Backpack, $2,700. No, I'll pass. We're doing this with $30 mics I bought on Amazon.
Yeah, we'll do that first. But yeah, we will come at you guys probably Tuesday of next week before Mike makes his journey to Orlando. And I will guess we probably come at you some point after the game, whether it's if Mike is able to Thursday. If not, maybe I'll come at you solo if he's still recovering from his bus ride. Any final thoughts, Mike?
Vamos Miami, man. Like, let's keep this ball rolling. Let's get another win. Let's get to a point where you don't want to fire Tata. And Mike V admits, or makes it, I won't say admits, makes a statement that Tata's not the worst coach ever. Like, let's get to that point.
Believe it, guys. Believe it. Anyway, thanks, guys. We'll see you next week. Everybody, make sure. Oh, damn. I didn't even know you knew how to do that. Good work, man. But yeah, we'll come at you next week. And yeah, do all the things, like, subscribe. And yeah, and we are going to kick some Montreal ass on grass.